Holy Spirit, have your way over these next number of moments. Speak to and through me, Lord God, to your amazing, amazing, amazing people, Lord God. Let somebody's life be completely restored anew. Break off that which is old. Break them into that which is new. Amen. Amen. Well, let's get right to the Word of God. Y'all ready for the Word of God? I need you all to do me a favor. 2 Chronicles 20:10. 2 Chronicles 20:10. And now here are the people of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, whom you would not let Israel invade when they came out of the land of Egypt. But they turned from them and did not destroy them. Here they are rewarding us by coming to throw us out of your possession, which you have given us to inherit. Need you to turn to at least three people this morning as we do on a Sunday, and I want you to tell them, get in position. Get in position. Okay, y'all thought I was done. Stand back up. Yeah, y'all thought I was done. And the other end of that is tell those same three so you can fulfill your mission. Yeah. There's a reason why. How many of you want to get in position right now? Text somebody and tell them to get in position. You got to get in position. Yeah. You got to get in. You have to get. I can't tell you how important it is. Somebody say team ministry. I cannot tell you how important it is to be in position. Yeah, to fulfill the, I'm going to touch on position mission on a number of different ways here this morning, but I want you to literally intuitively hear my heart this morning on the importance of being in position. And how God has a desire to fulfill his mission through your position. I got to be sports people out there that like sports. I cannot tell you the importance of being in position as it amounts and accounts to sports. Yeah, I was afforded the beautiful opportunity to play all the way from the time I was 7 till I was 22 there at Miami, Ohio in college. And I'm always reminded, and it's funny, and if he was around here, he would probably be cracking up, this gentleman that I'm talking about. I won't say his name because I don't want to embarrass him. But I remember when I was in college, I played fullback. Fullback is a running back, you know. So what would happen is that this particular gentleman, he was the backup. Okay, so when the starting guy would go, forgive me, this is just a little bit over your head as far as sports is concerned. Just stay with me, amen. But anyway, I played fullback. So he would come in, and what would happen is that now we're talking about middle of the game. Somebody said middle of the game. Middle of the game. I mean, the game is hot and heavy and it's intense, and maybe the starting running back, he had to go out for a little bit, and then the backup come in. But even when the backup come in, how many of y'all know that the backup still need to know what he's doing? Somebody help me in this place. Just because you might not be starting, you still need to pay attention so that when your time comes, you know what you do. I'm trying to help somebody in this place right now because about 16 of you want to be promoted. Yeah, you want to get advanced in your, okay. I'm trying to. So he's coming in there, and I promise you, the quarterback will call a play. And we go into the line of scrimmage. Come here, Pastor Mike. Just turn around. And he would be in front. You know, I would be in front of him. And so I'm going to the line of scrimmage. In the middle of the play, he would tap on me. He would tap on me before. They about to hike the ball, y'all. And he would tap on me. And he would say, which way do I go? And I'm thinking like, the devil is a liar, man. You don't know your playbook? Why you even, coach, get him out the game? You're going to get some. Yeah, you ain't just here to be here. Everybody in this sanctified Holy Ghost filled auditorium need to be in position. You need to lean on the person closest to you and tell them, I can't afford you to be out of position. I need you to cover me. I need you to cover me. I need you to help me. I would tell him, I would just say, just go that way. Just go that way, man. I ain't got time to be telling you which way. Get in position. Read your playbook. Oh, somebody. I got a few people that have helped me this morning. I need you to read your playbook. I don't need you to just, it's going to be a little challenging in here, church family. What I'm saying is, how many of y'all know the Lord? How many of y'all are saved? Those of you that are saved, yes. Knowing the Lord and being saved is quite different. Yeah, it's quite different. Yeah, everybody that calls upon the name of the Lord Jesus shall be saved. But I remember Jesus said there will be some that will call up Jesus, and he'll say, I never knew you. Yeah, it's not about just showing up at church. You know, I can't coach you into heaven. You're going to have experience for yourself. Well, I need you to read your playbook. I need you to read your playbook during the week so that when I'm up here and I'm preaching and I'm teaching, you've got some level of familiarity, maybe not with the specific subject, but your heart is prepared. Somebody help you. That your heart is ready to receive. There's something happens in the atmosphere when I've got at least a few hundred people that are ready to receive the word of God. That just give it to me. You know, I ain't did nothing. I'm kind of lazy. I'm kind of sloppy. I'm not going to read my playbook all week. But I'm going to expect that when game time comes, you put me in the game, coach. Yeah, but you've not done anything during the week. So why should I put you in the game when you're not prepared? You do know you're not the only one in the game. So the one guy that's coming in, we got 11 players in the field. You don't know what you're doing. Don't you realize you can mess up the entire play call simply because you don't know? Because the common goal is to win the game. But the last time I looked, we need everybody to win the game. Stop feeling like you can win the game on your own. You can't win the game on your own. You're not that good. You're not as good as what you think you are. You're not as bad as what you think you are. But you're not as good as what you think you are. You do need somebody. Is this all right, church family? Is this all right? My Lord. Let's go to Matthew 4. Let's start in verse 18. And Jesus, say Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brothers, Simon called Peter, and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. Stay position. For they were fishermen, that was their position. Then he said to them, follow me, and I will make you what? Fishers of men. Say mission. Okay, so Jesus walked on the sea, saw two brothers, Simon called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. That was their position. Yeah, that's what they did. So they did for a living. They were fishermen. Yeah, that was how they made their money. That was how they took care of their families. Then he said to them, follow me, and I will make you fishers or fishermen. Yeah, I will make you. Follow me, and I'll make you something that you are not currently. Yeah, but you're going to have to leave where you are. Follow me. Wait, and this scripture is so pregnant, everybody, because in verse 20, the Bible says they immediately left their nets. What I read is they immediately left their security. That's what I read. Because if that's the way of life and of living, you're leaving your actual security. Don't be afraid to leave your position. to fulfill God's mission. And I'm going to tell you, there are so many times in life that you got to do stuff immediately. Why? Because you talk your way out of it. You think your way out of it. You think yourself out of the next miracle. When God says go, just go. When God says write the check, just write the check. When God says go tell him I'm sorry, just go tell him I'm sorry. Don't try to convince yourself. Don't try to talk yourself out of it. If you think, what is it? Think long, think wrong. Just do it. It's like the Nike slogan in God sometimes. Somebody say, just do it. Yeah, somebody say immediately. I am often reminded, I'm a person talking, so I'm going to give you just a smidgen of my testimony. If you've been around the church for a little bit, you already know what happened on June 1st of 2008, almost 10 years ago. Driving in my car, my pastor, Bishop Thomas, he calls me, he says, Bob, can you be at my house in 20 minutes? Sure, I can be at your house. He's a spiritual dad in my life. Sure, I can be at your house, Dad. Meet him over at the house. We sit down there on the porch, and he says, listen, I'm going to just cut to the chase. Yeah. This was quite different. He never would just call me out of nowhere, so I knew it had to be something going on. I knew I wasn't in trouble or nothing like that. I hadn't did anything, but I was wondering, why is he just calling me in the middle of the day? Whether or not you can be in my house in 20 minutes. I meet him on the back porch of his house. He said, listen, I'm going to cut right to the chase. We've had a change over at the particular campus that we planted, and we believe that you are the man to go and pastor that church. I'm looking at him like, you have got to be out of your mind. There is no way that I can do something like, have you looked at my resume? I was telling some of the new members this yesterday. I was just so astounded that he would call me to do something that I did not feel equipped to do. I did not feel, no Bible college, no theological degree, no seminary degree. I had not even taught a Bible school. I hadn't taught a Bible. I had nothing that I felt would be needed to pastor a church. And so when I threw all that at him, he looked at me dead in the eyes and he said, you don't have 30 days to pray about it. He said, sometimes God does a suddenly. Somebody help me in this place. And when God does a suddenly, okay, let me encourage at least 5 or 6 of y'all that still are doing something that you really don't know how you're doing it, but you know if it wasn't for the grace of God, you would not be. Two or three of y'all are a little prideful, but most of y'all are saying, if it had not been for the Lord who was on my side, at least 6 of y'all that got promoted, and you know you didn't deserve it. You know if it had not been for God on my side, I'm not being false humility. I still don't know what I'm doing. God is navigating me. God is guiding me. He told me you don't have 30 days to pray about it. Why? Because in 30 days, I probably would have talked myself right out of it. From position to going on from there, he saw 2 other brothers, James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, in the boat with Zebedee, their father, mending their nets. He called them, and immediately, there again, say immediately, they left the boat and their father. Wow. They left the boat and their dad. They left the family business. Okay, many of you may or may not know, according to John, this was not the disciples' first encounter with Jesus. This wasn't the first encounter. But what happened, church family, I need you to write this down, is that the disciples went from common to calling. God wants to take you from a place of common. What's common? Oh, Sunday morning. Time to go to church. That's what we do. Sunday morning. Time to go to church. What time does church start? 10 o'clock? Cool. 10 o'clock? 10? We get there about 10:30.